B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bulls will dribble out the clock, and it will hit triple zeros. The last time the Celtics took the floor here in Chicago, they scored the biggest road win in NBA history and the biggest win in franchise history in the middle of an eight-game win streak that put them back on the map. Tonight, they return, already fifth in the Eastern Conference, sandwiched between games against some of the elite teams in the NBA. The Celtics arrive here, go down by as many as 25, and take one of their worst losses of the year. An ugly night in Celtics Nation. The final score, Chicago 126, Boston 116.
Celtics lose over the weekend, Saturday night. Yeah, they had beaten the Bulls in two previous meetings by 29 and 56 points.
Yeah, that's what Grandy said there.
Yep.
Big wins.
Blew them out. Instead, they go in there and they lose in what is their worst loss of the season. Worst loss of the year.
How many times are we going to go through this? Are they going a little stretch, a little run?
We were come back just the there with the games against the LAs.
Deja vu all over again.
Deja vu.
Deja vu.
Like that. That's new. I like that.
Don't look at me.
Deja vu. Brutal. So Kyrie has a big night statistically, at least offensively. Defensively left something to be desired. But Kyrie Irving looked to at least show up offensively. The rest of the team, yeah, not so much. Not so much. And so the Celtics lose there, and it was ugly, and it was a horrible loss. And after the game, well, you got to go to Kyrie. What's Kyrie think? What's he saying? Here we go.
It's starting at the point where you're concerned that the struggle that you guys have will leak into the playoffs.
No, I'll be fine.
Why do you think that?
Because I'm here.
Team will be fine.
Me.
Why?
Me.
Because I'm here. Oh. Okay.
Well, he's kind of right. I mean, if they're going anywhere, it's going to fall on his shoulders.
Right. To a degree.
Goes without saying. But
listen.
Do you want to hear him say that, though, based on how they lost and the state they're in right now?
Not really.
What was the reaction coming off All-Star Weekend? Like, I wasn't here, obviously. Did you get any? He played a lot of minutes in that game. Looked great moving around, attacked the paint. Now, what was the reaction last week? He hurt his team? No. They kind of knew. They all knew he was going to play in it. Celtics knew he was going to play.
They didn't play like a team on Saturday night.
Again, but you get the other stuff coming out from other players. Like,
a lot of hero ball.
We can't.
A lot of hero ball in that game.
We don't have that fight like we had. We don't have the desire. We don't have the heart. Like, that keeps being talked about. That's an epidemic. That's what's hurting this team. How do you fix that? Seriously, how do you fix that? Because it's still the same makeup of a lot of guys. All of a sudden, you change as an individual. Like, how do you go out there and say that or state that? Because you're saying, you know, then you don't have it either. Because if you're calling out your teammates, you're calling out yourself too. It's team sport.
Do you know what should never happen? Is the Celtics bench getting beat by the bench on a terrible team like Chicago, getting outworked by a bench on a terrible team like Chicago? And that is absolutely the case of what happened in that game. But that's not the major issue. One of the major issues is Jason Tatum didn't have real opportunities in the second half of that game. And it had started in the first half.
But whose fault is that?
I think it's partially Kyrie. And more importantly, I think that's coaching. Like, at some point, you've got to get the ball in the right guy's hands. And you've got to draw it up that way.
I go more part two. I'd say it's more coaching.
I would agree. No, it is more coaching. I think it's only partially Kyrie.
You call the timeout, you make the adjustment, say, hey, what are we doing here? Let's go. Let's settle down. Get the ball to him.
And so that's a problem. But at least Kyrie showed up offensively. I don't know how much he showed up defensively in that game. And by the way, that's like the entire team. Never mind. That's not on him. The whole team didn't show up defensively.
So what do you read into the way Kyrie left the court, where he's walking down the tunnel and he rips his shirt off?
I don't know, because everyone wants to take
someone
these comments after the game as, see, he's not. I think it was Adam Himmelsbach that I read a tweet from where he said, you know, Kyrie's sort of changing the MO here after one of these bad losses. He's growing in that he's able to let it go and move on and say, we're going to be okay. you know, the sky is not falling with these guys after Saturday night.
But you read into that, it seems
that
to me
a,
like
a sign of resignation.
I mean, I remember Antoine Walker and Paul Pierce, those guys taking their shirts off in those playoff losses, and how pissed you get. Like, and then you start looking at the individual. I think that made it more of an individual. Like,
yeah,
here I am. I went and played my ass off, and it's not good enough. Here's my shirt.
Well, this is the problem.
I'm showing everybody I'm pissed.
Are we getting to the point where he's able to now say, see, I was good. I showed up. This team does suck.
That's the way I took it. That's the way I took that.
Well, here's the other part of what Kyrie said, and it's about the Celtics in the playoffs.
You know, it is what it is. Like I said, I don't get frustrated about this stuff anymore. It's just part of the regular season, you know, in the playoffs, when we could plan for a team, prepare for a team. You know, I still don't see anybody beating us in 7 games.
That's a LeBron statement right there. That's exactly what LeBron James. I hope he means that.
I hope he's being honest.
I do, too. He's telling you the regular season doesn't matter. We need to get in a series, understand who we're playing, make our adjustments, and let's go. Remember when LeBron was asked that before the playoffs? And he said, what are you asking me about a regular season game? Brush it off. They're playing Celtics.
Yes.
What, you think I'm going to make this bigger in any game? Dude, I've been to 7 straight NBA finals. Okay? I play for the finals. It's like Brady plays for the Super Bowls. I hope Kyrie plays for the finals. I do.
Yeah, but what did LeBron do? He came here in that regular season game and trucked them.
Yeah.
Leaving that taste in their mouth heading into the playoffs.
Yeah. He rolled, put his shoulder down and ran him over. Yeah. Choo-choo. That was a Jim Murray chugga-chugga-choo-choo.
I want to see this Celtics team do the same thing. Say, the regular season doesn't matter. It's about the playoffs. And then go out and tank somebody. And then say, all right, this is what we were talking about. You know?
Oh, that'd be nice.
They made a statement. LeBron made a statement. Yeah. He backed up his words.
Yeah.
They haven't backed up their words yet.
There's a lot of talking going. You're right. There's a lot of talking going on and not enough action. Or combined action together. You'll get one guy here and there and there and there. Like you said, Kyrie explodes the other night. Offensively. They do enough on defense? They play enough good defensive basketball? Obviously not against a bad team. Terrible. Bad loss.
Here we are again.
Yeah.
Worst of the year.
It's like we do this every Monday.
Worst of the year.
It's weird.
It's the end of February.
Every 2 Mondays. Reentry Monday, what happened to the Celtics over the weekend?
Just had
another bad loss.
Worst loss of the year.
But if we knew they were a good team, if it was an absolute certainty that this is a good team,
we'd feel differently.
Whatever. It's a regular season. We'd feel like Kyrie feels.
Yeah.
Regular season, don't worry about it.
Except he hasn't proven, and this team hasn't proven, that they are the team that we think they're capable of being based on their roster. They have never proven it. They haven't gotten to that point yet. And if they had earned that, we would. We'd sit here and say, you know what? Wow, that was a clunker, huh? But it's okay because we know this team's really good and they've put it together.
Like Grandy said, road game against the Bulls sandwiched in between two big games that they had to play.
Right. Okay. Well, it was a scheduled loss. We would do the scheduled loss thing
yes.
that we have done in the past. Scheduled loss. Okay. What are you going to do? Road game. All right. No big deal. This team's got it, though. We know that. We feel confident about this group. Nope, I don't know of anyone who's sharing the confidence of I don't see us ever losing a 7-game series that Kyrie expressed on Saturday night.
Sean Grandy didn't feel that way in the final call. You could tell by his call.
Grandy doesn't feel that way. I don't think Max feels that way. I don't think very many people feel that way, but Kyrie does. Maybe he just knows in his heart that they do have the capability to be that team that we want them to be so badly and live up to their expectations.
He's won a championship. He keeps telling everybody,
I hope
I'm the one who knows because I've won before.
I hope he's right. I hope he gets that right. But how about the me answer, right? Me. He doesn't say me. Why is it that you feel you'll be okay? Because I'm here.
Why do you think that?
Because I'm here.
Quick, boom. I'm here.
I love and
Sounds
hate
like
that answer
it.
All at the same time.
Yeah, I know.
I love it
I
and hate it. I love it because, good, you're supposed to be that guy. Good for you.
Right. Yeah. If somebody else said it, we'd be sitting here railing on another team, but he's on your team.
Right.
And you want to like that.
I don't rail on that. When
right.
LeBron says
right.
that, I love that.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah. It's just that I don't know that he's ever been that guy. He's never been LeBron. And maybe he turns into that.
Maybe he
guy.
Wants to be LeBron.
Maybe
right.
he's just like that. He's
LeBron.
A guy that when you get to the playoffs, you can bank on him and he can carry your team.
Well, he did call Bron. He said, hey, I now know what you were talking about, man.
But he hasn't had that opportunity. He was hurt last year. He didn't play in the playoffs. Now he's got that opportunity. And so we've never seen Kyrie have that chance. Now he will. And maybe he is. Maybe he's a guy that just knows, I'm going to turn it on and I'll carry the team. He tried to carry the team offensively on Saturday night. It wasn't enough.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Quick dot on the Bruins here. 617-779-0985. Darren Dreger had a tweet this morning, about 3 hours ago now, saying Boston and the New York Islanders will be watched closely today. The Isles could be a sleeper, and the Bruins are still in on Stone, Simmons, and this follows the report that Gustav Nyquist was someone the Bruins were in on, and we're closest to landing him before losing out to the Kings in that deal. So the Bruins are still very active, according to the reports, to get a bigger piece before today's 3 p.m. NHL trade deadline. Here's how I look at this deadline. One, I think the Bruins, and more specifically Don Sweeney, have played it exactly right. He has downplayed the possibility multiple times of the team acquiring another piece. Downplayed it. Today, they had David Pastrnak
out
on the ice.
Put your skates on,
son. Put his skates on and told him to go skate.
Yeah. Leave your stick in. I don't want you to grip a stick. Don't grip it and rip it.
Complete showmanship here.
Yeah, this is good. Well,
I don't need to make a deal. I got Pastrnak out on the ice.
It's like Patriots taping up Gronkowski. Don't get out there while the media's here.
Not sure if you caught this tweet from Kevin Paul DuPont that went under the radar end of last week, but he tweeted back to someone, I think that Pastrnak is 2 or 3 weeks away from making his return. Oh, okay. Believe it when I see it.
The thumb's being reevaluated today, Beetle. They're going to look at his thumb.
Terrific.
Don't be such a skeptic.
Terrific.
Never mind the fact that he's out there skating without a stick.
Why didn't they look at it yesterday? Why didn't they have him skate yesterday?
You know
the day before?
Because they had the day off, maybe.
Were his feet not working on those days?
Guess what? We're going to be Thursday. We're going to be a warrior.
Bad ice yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, how much money you got? How much money you got in your pocket? Let's put it out there. Will he skate Thursday down at Warrior? Will we watch him go through any sort of a workout?
No.
No. Because you're going to put him out there on trade deadline day.
He won't be skating after 3 p.m. today for a couple more weeks. Put your money on that.
Get that Monday.
Let's look at his thumb after the trade deadline. Maybe 3:05 today. Why don't we look at his thumb then?
I'll take a look at my thumb. Stick my thumb.
I think that is all showmanship. They are playing it the right way. That doesn't make me feel... The fact that he's skating today, I don't know that it necessarily makes me feel worse about his thumb.
I feel worse.
I can tell you, it doesn't make me feel better in any way because I'm not buying it. Good job.
I feel worse because they're trying to lower down the price.
Good job, Bruins.
Getting him back.
Good job, Don Sweeney.
Excellent job. I have not
bought in to him downplaying the possibility of making another move. I think the Bruins are serious about making another move. I think the costs we are seeing based on the trade that just went down with the Rangers trading Kevin Hayes a half hour ago, whatever it was, the cost could be considerable, but I think the Bruins are still going to try and make a bigger move.
Yep.
And I think they need to make that bigger move for us to really believe that they're a true contender for the Cup.
Yeah, second line.
I think
they need
another
piece. Not a depth piece. Don't be pulled in another defensive depth piece. No.
Despite their recent success, despite the wins, they still need another piece. And if they do, I think we can start talking about this team in different terms. That's how I feel about the Bruins right now.
That'll be fun, but they got to prove it, right?
Still playing well. Still a good team to watch
right now.
Finding ways to win, even though that didn't work out over the weekend. But whatever. They've played well recently.
You catch the Bruins down in Aruba?
I did not.
Aruba.
No. Yeah. I watched
a lot of hockey fans. Yeah,
no.
How the TVs work? I know we talked a couple weeks ago about the on-demand content on the international flights. Did that work out on the way down?
Had a little problem with all the TVs on the way down.
Did you?
No TVs on the way down.
I got a JetBlue exit row seat on the way back on the brand new plane.
Oh, nice.
And the little handstand flips up, and I have a nice direct TV.
Touch screen.
Touch it.
You have touch screen on the way back.
Flight back, again, one of the new planes, everything working, but no direct TV until you're about, I'm going to say like 2.5 hours into the flight.
Right. But what about the content?
Movie up.
All the on-demand movies is great.
That's all you
need. Perfect. That's all I need.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
They have Goodfellas.
I watched Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is it good?
On the way back. It was okay.
Yeah.
You think Rami Malek?
I got a text.
I didn't see every other movie, but if you're going to force me into it, I'll say no.
I thought he was good.
I thought he was good.
I didn't see it.
He didn't do the singing, but I thought he was good.
I thought you had to do the singing in order to win an Oscar.
He didn't do the singing.
They
blended master tapes of Freddie Mercury with a guy in Canada. That sounds just like Freddie Mercury.
It's Christmas.
You should listen to the guy from Canada.
I think Phoenix was the first one to break that streak where you had to do the singing in order to win the Oscar for Walk the Line, because I don't think Jamie Foxx didn't win for Ray. And Jamie Foxx was incredible in red.
He did the singing.
But he didn't do the singing.
He didn't?
No, he did not.
Is he looking for gold?
Oh, no, but Joaquin Phoenix did do the singing. What am I talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He did do the singing and walked out. I always thought you had to do the singing to win the Oscar. Yeah.
Thought that was a requirement.
I thought that was kind of like an understood thing.
How'd that Cooper thing go last night with Lady Gaga?
Oh, with a Gaga?
Did those two go home together or what?
Are they on it?
Yeah, they're acting.
Oh, really?
They're acting.
Shut up.
Deeply in love.
They're acting.
I don't think he'd be into her. I'm just saying that.
I don't care for that. I don't care for that Bradley Cooper anymore. With the good looking and the funny and can sing.
Start to bug
enough,
me.
Enough already.
Start to bug
enough
me.
Talent from you.
Yeah, enough.
He's made Hollywood forget about the guy that's a big Texas fan. What's his name? Matthew McConaughey. Like, you think Matthew McConaughey's like the hottest dude out there? Like, best actor.
He's still pretty
Bradley
hot.
Cooper laps.
I think they're both hunky.
617.
I know.
779-0985.
You do what?
I'm going to do the next segment.
Michael's in Malden. Michael.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey.
It seems like you've changed the subject, so I might be a little late.
Everything.
Go ahead.
Monday, reentry.
Everything's going.
I mean, I'm not disappointed that Bob Kraft, saw a prostitute. I'm not disappointed about that. But what I am disappointed about is where he saw him. In a strip mall in Florida? I mean, come on, man. What's wrong with seeing him at him?
Okay, Michael, here's something that I do find interesting about this.
Jamie Foxx did win for Ray. Go ahead.
I thought he did.
I don't know.
So Kraft isn't the only billionaire on the list of 25.
Yeah.
There's another local guy, local to here.
This is like a boys club thing, it seems.
And that's one of the first things I thought about. I thought, there's no way he found this place on his own. There's no way he's driving down the road and says, oh, the day spa. Mm. This must be a known thing among circles.
Maybe orchid's a favorite flower.
Rich guy circles, right? The rich guy Palm Beach circle.
It's a nice circle.
Wealthy. The rich guys must know about this place. Must be, sort of on the hush-hush in those crowds.
Mm. There were a lot of birth dates in the 40s.
There were. Robert Kraft was not the oldest gentleman on the list.
What they say? They really weren't in there for more than 6 minutes?
The old Palm Beach Rich Guy Club has this on their radar, apparently. Mm. Word of mouth in that circle of people.
It's just so strange. Like, why would this be a special place for anyone of means? I don't know. I would envision the exact opposite going in there. Young guys with no money. Old guys with all the money. It doesn't make any sense.
Do you see the Barstool guys jump all over this? Like, oh, this is great. We do this all the time. Like, yeah. It's young. It's, yeah, you're right. Young kids.
Yeah, it's charming. What?
Nothing.
Howard's in there.
I'm not disappointed.
Awesome.
People go, I'm not disappointed. You're not disappointed? How are you not sort of let down or embarrassed, It doesn't change the way you look at your team. Like, it doesn't take away from being down 25 in the Super Bowl or, losing to Philly the way you did or the Malcolm Butler stuff or the way Malcolm picked it. That all stands. You're not taking that stuff away.
No, I'll tell you why.
It's his team, man.
Beyond that, though, if you're a Patriots fan, the odds are you like this guy.
You love this guy.
Right?
You don't like this guy.
I'm saying
you
at a minimum.
I still love this
minimum,
guy. You think I'm going to change the way I know and view Mr. Kraft? No.
I'm not.
No. Jesus. He screwed up.
You ever
mess up?
But I'm also not naive enough to think that other people won't change how they feel.
Oh, there'll be people. Right? You're going to get the calls. I love this team, and now I don't.
I think you're being silly.
And this is part, I think, why we didn't take too many calls on it on Friday, right?
I wouldn't know.
The overreaction. I wasn't here either. But we are today. I'll talk about it with you. But, you only know about, you know as much as we know. And I don't think you're going to get much after this.
Howard is in Burlington. Howard.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Hey, I want to talk about the Bruins, but real quick, what I heard this morning about Kraft was, and it might be, technically he didn't solicit anything because it was included in whatever he paid for.
Correct.
In other words, they solicited him, more or less. But anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. Lee Stempniak bums me out. I mean, Beetle, I don't know if I agree with you that they've done everything the right way. Yes, I don't want to see him give up a McAvoy or or you know DeBrusk or anything like that. But Lee Stempniak, that's the best they can do.
See,
if you don't do something serious today,
this is how I take it.
I'm pissed,
Howard, and you should be. By the way, you should be. Here's how I look at the Stempniak thing. It's a part of the downplaying your need to make a move, which is
maybe.
Right? And so, yeah. I mean, that shouldn't even register, Lee Stempniak. Who cares? That's how I look
Both
at that
mirrors. Yeah, I guess so. You know, I kind of agree with you there, Beetle, and I hope so. Because these guys, you know, the other teams, none of the top six teams really compete for the cup anymore. Not Montreal, not Boston, not the Rangers. It's always these small market teams. Vegas? Come on.
Yeah, I think that the Stempniak move shouldn't even register. A bottom of the roster player. Who cares? 36-year-old Lee Stempniak. That's not a move. That doesn't count. You don't get to count that as anything. So you're right. They should make this other move. They should do another move now. Are you in or are you out? And if you don't do the move, do you even believe that you've got a cup contender on your hands? If you believe that, why have you continued to aggressively pursue another significant piece? Not a depth move, not a third line type of move. No, we're talking about a real move. You've got to do that. You're in now, and I think they are in, and I'm putting my faith in them to do that before 3 p.m. today. The question is, what price do they pay? And the price seems high.
I got an update on the Chili's in Dedham.
Oh, yeah, what happened to it?
They knew that the lease was up, and they knew they were going to close when the lease was up because of Legacy Place going in there, put the rate of the rental of the property sky.
So where'd they go? They just disappeared?
They built the one in Walpole. Down the street. They found a cheaper location in Walpole.
That's Walpole, though. That's not dead.
Same thing. 5 minutes away. Same
town's
thing.
Over.
That ain't nothing. Right down Route 1, you're there in 5 minutes.
The guy on Twitter, Legion of Dudes, tweeted to all of us. And he says that he knows this because he was the manager there for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
What happened there? Does he explain? Where did he move on to? Is he managing the Hooters now?
Quote, plan was always to close the Dedham Chili's once the old lease was up. Oh, where did he go? You want to know where he ended up?
Hey, you bring in that P.F. Chang's. That classies the place up there a little bit. You know what I mean?
Love the Beetle, the ultimate local Beetle comment. Wait, on the other side of 128? No way. I'm not going there.
Five miles down the road.
Wait, what?
Walpole. That's
going all the way down to Walpole? No.
It's the same damn thing.
I got no other reason to go there.
I'm not crossing over.
There's things in Dedham you go to.
You got the automobiles.
Movies are there.
Dedham.
You guys met my buddy.
Dedham's a pain in the ass.
You guys met my buddy Brian.
I can't stay away from
West Roxbury.
Yeah. What'd he say?
He claims he's never been further west than Needham. And he's only been there a couple of times. There's no reason to go there. I mean, that's the cutoff. So 95, anything further south. See, I can see going further south down Route 1, though, because you got to go to Gillette. So that's acceptable. Right.
Tell you, the first time I ever went west of 84 was to go visit UMass. Like, that's like a whole new world out here. Wow, we're really out in the wilderness. Damn, this place is in the middle of nowhere.
In the same time zone? What are we doing?
What time is the sunset here?
I saw that. They're getting like 70-mile-an-hour winds today at UMass. Winds are whipping up out there.
All right,
to purchase Gasso.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six 617-779-0985, the telephone number. We get back to your calls.
Yeah.
On everything. Is this Carville? I'm sorry. What's your name in Canton?
Carvelli. I'm in the
truck. Carvelli. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
What do you got?
Thank you for calling.
Long time, first time, guys. What's up, Zo?
What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Going back to the Robert Kraft and the Orchids of Asia Day Spa.
Portnoy put that on a T-shirt yet, by the way?
No, he's got the we're coming for number 7.
Yeah. I just think a straight Orchids of Asia Day Spa T-shirt would sell. I think
we need some of those. So in the history of the NFL, the league, in my opinion, has held different quality or different quote-unquote level of players to higher levels, higher standards with different levels of punishment. So what I'm wondering, I haven't heard anybody talk about this at all yet, and I'll throw this out, if, with a big if this situation was different, and this was, let's say, somebody like Jim Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, and he was the NFL owner, committed this crime, what would his punishment be? Would this be different than Robert Kraft and the Patriots?
I think it would. It goes back.
Okay. I'd just like to bring this up. I'll listen off the air, and thanks for taking my call,
guys.
Thanks,
all right, Carvelli. Hope to hear from you again soon. I think it would, and I think it goes back to what I was talking about earlier, in that they will punish based on the amount of bad publicity. Because in terms of being punished for the action itself, the courts pretty much do that in these cases. And in the, he brings up Jim Haslam, owner of the Cleveland Browns. He had a case in which his company was fined, Flying J, the truck stops.
Oh, yeah.
That was his deal.
That's a big
17
thing.
Employees there were charged criminally. Mm. He was not, and therefore they did not punish him at all. They said legally he hasn't been caught up in anything, even though he was named in, you know, his involvement in it. He was not criminally charged, and therefore he did not face any discipline from the league.
Yeah, the big people are going to get whacked in this thing as the sex trafficking. Right?
That's my way of saying it does matter if you're charged, because they're not going to punish you if you don't get charged, I think. And so the charge does matter, but I don't think it's the only thing. I think the publicity is what is going to weigh on this decision. And I also think the fact that the rest of the league would love to knock the Patriots down a peg, that's going to factor into this too. They love it. Oh, you won your sixth Super Bowl, Robert.
Yeah, how about this? Stick it to
them. Hey, listen, Robert, we like everything you've done for this league. You've done a lot of great stuff for us, but yeah, you know, we're just going to have to go ahead and punish you for this.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be harsh. And I think they're going to use the six games that Irsay got as a starting point. I think they are. I think it starts at six is what they're going to do, which I think is too much anyway. I think it's absurd, but I think that's where they're going to start. Harry's in Dorchester on the Celtics. Hi, Harry.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I just want to say something about this Celtics situation. I sort of agree with Zoe. I just think that they're giving the coach a pass. Too much is being put on Kyrie's shoulders, and you guys can throw that around. I'll listen.
Okay, I think the coach has not received very much criticism this year. Definitely not enough. If it were any other team in town, any other team, we'd be hammering the coach for underperformance. Brad Stevens has not received that.
Right.
And I think we're guilty of it as well.
I think it is. I think it's a little bit of an individualistic sport, even though you have five guys out there. You know, you need your superstars. And like Kyrie said, how do you know that you're going to be okay in the playoffs? Because you have me. And hopefully that's true. And then it's up to Brad. And that's where Brad's at his best, right? You get in the series, you understand what's happening between game 2 and 3 and 4. And that's where he really makes his adjustments. That's where Brad Stevens is really good in the series.
Can I say something unrelated? Just jumping back to Celtics that I didn't say earlier.
Sure.
Can we stop telling ourselves that Terry Rozier would somehow be a good replacement for Kyrie Irving if Kyrie is to walk?
Didn't we do that a long time
ago? Can we stop doing that?
I started doing it last year during the finals when everybody was talking about it. Stop it already.
If there's anybody left on that train, I hope you've gotten off.
He's scared.
I just hope you're not still riding that train. I hope you got off at the last stop.
Yeah. You don't have a T-shirt?
Jim, you put a stat notes.
It is terrifying.
Can you tell me the stat and explain it to me like I'm 5 years old? Because I don't fully understand
I understood.
The qualifying part.
Okay.
461 qualifying? What does that mean in terms of what part of that?
So in the NBA, this is from Boston Sports
Inc. Thank you. Explain it to me like I'm an idiot, because I am.
In the NBA, there's been 40 years since the three-point shot has been around.
Okay.
So in those 40 years, the players to have attempted more than 1,800 field goals and also more than 853 point attempts.
Okay, so that's the qualifying.
Right.
You have to have attempted those two things.
It's a bit of a contrived and convoluted benchmark, but still, out of all the players since the advent of the three-point line, you have to have attempted 1,800 field goals and at least 850 three-pointers. Okay,
so those are the qualifying statistics, which are the attempts. It wasn't abundantly clear to me as I
read that. There's 461 people who have done this over 40 years.
Okay.
And that's a career number, obviously.
Attempted 1,800 field goals and 850 three-pointers.
461 qualifiers.
461 players have done that.
Okay. Of those 461, there are two players who have a field goal percentage of or less than
38%.
Right, 380, and a three-point percentage less than 355. Two players. Those two players.
So that's sort of like just a random number to draw the line for each of those, 38%, 35.5%.
Right.
But okay.
Equal to or less than. Those two players are Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier.
So they're basically the worst. To sum this up as a stat, they are the worst shooters among anyone that's ever had 1,800 field goal attempts, and at least 850 of those are from three.
So that's bad, then.
Yeah, but only for 40 years.
Only going back
the
40
worst, only the going back to 1979.
They're the worst guys in the league shooting-wise in 40 years.
Yeah. Jesus Christmas.
Holy crap.
Well, worst consistent amongst twos and threes, because they're probably guys that are lower overall field goal percentage, and they're also guys that are lower
but haven't
overall
got
three
the attempts.
Points. But they are good or bad at both.
Shooter gonna shoot.
They suck at
shooter
both. Shooter gonna shoot.
Playmaker, make a play.
They're not like those
shooter
guys that just
shoot.
Sit there in the corner and drain threes but are terrible at twos.
So,
or the guys that hit layups and can't hit their threes.
They are the worst shooters in the category of guys who actually get opportunity to shoot a lot, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the worst of the
in
people that 40, keep shooting, yes.
In 40 years of the league, they're at the bottom of the 461 qualified players.
Yeah, aren't you shocked that that's the only, those are the, there's only 461 over 40 years? And that's not a lot of guys.
It's not a tremendous amount. You're right. But Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier are at the bottom of the list of the 461. Can you believe it? I sort of can. I can sort of believe that on Terry Rozier. Yep, I can.
The stat out of that that I didn't believe the most was that Marcus Smart has attempted 1,351 three-pointers.
Oh, I believe that. God, I believe that 100%.
I feel like he never stops taking them.
Yeah.
I feel like we talk about that every single year with him. Every single year.
And those
here's
all,
an idea.
And they all,
an idea
and they all
the
came from the middle of the third quarter to the end of the game.
I think coaching comes in.
Yes,
though.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
So if you're an analytical guy and you're big
in analytics,
said
he wants
your
Marcus
Smart
to shoot.
Statistically, you have the two worst shooters in the last 40 years on your team. You want to avoid those two.
Yep.
So less minutes for you, less minutes for you. Don't throw him the ball. Design plays not to get them involved in the offensive game.
Get Jason Tatum the basketball. Mm. Get him the ball in important times.
Think he should get one of those
get
points.
Him more scoring opportunities.
He goes and he observes Alex Cordano in spring training. He hangs out with Belichick. Look at the pencil behind the ear. Brad, you get the pencil behind the ear, and when Marcus Smart misses another three, okay, missed three in a row, four in a row, five in a row, okay, halftime adjustments. Marcus Smart not going to shoot in second half.
That's what you do.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, you guys spend so much time with Nick, and we spend so much time with the players and all that, and it puts everything in perspective. I know how we feel. I know we're going to miss him. I know he was a great man, and you start reading social media and what people wrote about Nick, how you guys feel about him, and not only the people from Boston, but from all over the state, or you know, people from the industry. It was amazing, you know, like the respect, the love that people have for him, and you start thinking about life, and it's like, you know what, that's the way it should be, I guess. You know, when you make an impact in life. And obviously, Nick impacted all of us. All of us.
That was Alex Cora over the weekend in Fort Myers before the Red Sox played on Saturday. Zoe, I know you had some thoughts on Alex Cora.
Yeah.
The things that he said on Saturday.
It was
about
7 minutes. And, I've sat there and listened to Cora pressers and stuff. And I thought this was one of his best moments as manager of the Red Sox, where nothing's scripted, nothing's written. He just went up there and told you how he felt about a guy, covered his team that he saw every day, and just the mutual respect they had for each other and people around the game. And, of course, I knew Nick well. He covered us on the beat for the Globe. He was in our locker room each and every day. He was the only guy Terry Glenn ever trusted to talk to. Like, and we sat there dumbfounded, like, how does Nick get Terry to talk? Because Terry didn't talk to anybody. Talk about reporters. Terry talked to teammates. But Terry never did an interview, never talked to reporters. Always had his head down until he saw Nick. Hey, Nick, how you doing? But he developed that relationship with Terry. And
I thought Nick was fair when he covered us. I think a lot of players do. I know Max reached out too, and a couple other guys, and there are guys that had certain things like Borges and Kevin Mannix that would write things a certain way and sort of had their agendas, but Nick never had an agenda, and I think he called it like he saw it, and I think us players respected him for that. Never once were we bugged with him being in a room. And, of course, you know, doing this each and every day and going into the media, you know, we've had him on our show before talking Sox here and there, and you see him out, you run into him every once in a while, and I couldn't believe this when I heard it. Couldn't believe it. Sad. Sad for him. Sad for his family. But to think, wow, you know, okay, if you love the sport of baseball that much, and not to say, hey, that's where you want to pass away, but it's just a sad, sad. It was a sad day to hear about that.
Yeah,
but I thought
shocking
Cora,
that
Cora
it
was really, really good on it.
You know? I mean, just you never would have seen that coming.
It's
right?
It's not just a general statement by the team that was thrown out there. Hey, we wish your family well. Blah, blah, blah. We're very sorry. You know, thoughts and prayers. This was genuine from Cora, and I just really appreciated it from him.
I would say this. I mean, listen, there are people that knew him a lot better than I did or you did.
Mm-hmm.
I probably had about a half a dozen conversations with him. Not on the air, off the air in the last 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Always at Fenway.
Yeah.
Where that would happen. And, I mean, everything that people have said about him in the last 3 days and written about him, the overwhelming outpouring of thoughts that people have shared over... I just read it and I go, yeah, that's exactly who that guy was.
All right, let's call for what we see it as. These beat writers, these guys on the beat and the way they got to travel, they're a collection of weirdos that stick together, okay? Yeah, you know, everybody. We crack Shaughnessy's nuts all the time when he's in here. You're traveling. It's the same people you see every day. And Cora's right. He goes, when you do what we do in our line of work, and meaning baseball, we got 162 games, and you know it's a long season. We see these people more than we see our families. It's true. And you end up becoming close with everybody that is in that clubhouse each and every day. You do. You develop relationships, whether you talk to them every day or not. But it's a, hey, how you doing? And you get to know the person, you get to know their family, and it's a natural, you know, that it's a natural way that you ease into your everyday life of having this guy in a room with you. And I just thought Cora, I thought it related really well, and gave a quick, you know, seven minutes of, you know, how he felt about Nick and him covering the Red Sox.
And I think there's a connection between Nick and Alex Cora for that Father's Day piece that Nick wrote last year. So that's been referenced a couple of times. I just think that, you know, at least I know that there are people that are on that beat that knew Nick well, that spent a lot of time with him. At the very least, I think there's some comfort in all the really nice things that have been said in the last 3 days. Some.
Yeah, it doesn't bring him back.
And the places.
Doesn't do anything
no,
for the family,
it doesn't.
But,
of course, I mean, not. It's still awful, and
right.
your heart still go out to his family. But, I mean, I think he's getting his proper due, which at least that part of it.
That's tough to do in this, yeah. Business.
Right?
Yeah.
Coming from all over the place. Brian Cashman writing in
Yankees
the Globe
putting it out
over the weekend.
Twitter, yeah.
Right? In the Yankees, and
one of the first ones I saw was from Alex Rodriguez, and he had like a big thing about it. So
right. Huge names nice. That are currently in the sport, huge names of former players.
John Lester.
The Major League Baseball itself, all the biggest names in terms of baseball writers, players union, the league. Just an overwhelming outpouring of heartfelt thoughts about Nick Cafardo, who's gone entirely too soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.